Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. At SFO, you can discover award-winning flavors and unique shops all before takeoff. Learn more about what's at SFO at flysfo.com.
Hey, it's Avery Trufelman, host of Articles of Interest. And I've got to say, I've been a fan of KQED ever since I was a little kid, and I would come out to San Francisco to visit my grandma. It was just what we'd always turn on every time we got in the car, every time we were making dinner and turning on the radio. It was always KQED. And then over the years, I've become a massive fan of KQED podcasts because this is local reporting at its best. These are answers to questions you've always wanted to know, interviews with exciting, unusual voices, necessary journalism, all told with love and care and artistry. And did you know that a majority of KQED's funding actually comes from members? It's just people like you and me supporting the programs they love, while also getting access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. If you want to sign up and be a part of this amazing community, visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to become a member today. That's podcasts with an S. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support.
From KQED.
I'm Erica Cruz Guevara, and welcome to The Bay. Local news to keep you rooted. Half Moon Bay is preparing to break ground on a really important housing project, one that took a mass shooting to start. Because after a shooting at two local farms about a year ago, officials learned that workers had been living in shipping containers, and now they're doing something about it.
With the tragedy of the shooting, that expedited, you know, for emergency housing. Because we have the farm workers, and then everybody got to see how they live. So that expedited, you know, finding a faster way to, you know, to provide housing.
Today, how Half Moon Bay is building new housing for farm workers.
I mean, you know, there's an affordability crisis in the state, and farm workers are low-wage workers. Suffice it to say, it's an affordability crisis that hits farm workers hard.
Tyke Hendricks is senior immigration editor for KQED.
San Mateo County, I think, is really an extreme situation. The median home price in San Mateo County is $1.9 million. It makes it the most expensive county in the state. Farming is a $100 million industry here, and of course, farming depends on farm workers. They're mostly minimum wage workers and mostly immigrants. They're doing, you know, core essential work. But how to find a place to live that's decent and affordable is tough. There was a study back in 2016 that estimated over 1,000 units of farm worker housing are needed in San Mateo County.
I know this problem was really highlighted by the mass shooting in Half Moon Bay more than a year ago now at two mushroom farms, and the living conditions of farm workers there really came to light. You met one of the farm workers affected by the shooting. Can you tell me about Vicente? Who is he, and what was life like for him before the shooting?
Vicente still works on the mushroom farm, California Terra Garden, where he was the day of the shooting. He's been there for 3 years.
Tengo 52 años. Soy originario de Guatemala.
He's a 52-year-old man, originally from Guatemala. He asked not to use his last name because his immigration status isn't secure.
Vivíamos en la granja de la honguera.
He says he lived in a small trailer on the mushroom farm with four people. There was no heat, no hot water, no place to cook. He says it was really crummy situation, but they suffered through it because they really didn't have other housing options.
Estábamos viviendo, se puede decir, no muy bien. Uno aguanta porque uno tiene necesidad realmente.
The trauma was still really close to the surface for him, and that's even though a local nonprofit did set up group therapy sessions for the people who survived the shootings on the two farms. But Vicente said he still feels really deeply insecure, and it's just this sort of this sense of anxiety that's very close to the surface.
Y pues eso pues nos afectó demasiado. Y hasta el día de hoy pues nos sentimos inseguros. La realidad es que nos afectó mucho mentalmente.
He also said that just the instability of his housing situation really just adds to that.
Did Vicente have to move after the shooting happened and the living conditions of the farm workers at this particular farm sort of came to light?
Yeah, everybody had to move out of that farm. Public officials came through, including Governor Gavin Newsom, and, you know, drew attention, tweeted the photos out. Newsom did a big press conference and called out people living in shipping containers. That drew scrutiny from county officials, and the two farms were red tagged. There were 38 people displaced from the two farms. And Vicente is one of eight men who are living in a kind of a funky hotel room situation downtown in a guest house.
Por lo que pasó, estamos divididos, pues. Mi niño, pues, vive con su mamá en La Granada.
But there's not room here for his wife and his little boy, his seven-year-old son. And so they moved to another town, a couple towns north on the coast. And Vicente really said, I mean, real priority for him is finding a stable home where the three of them can all live together.
What have the city of Half Moon Bay and San Mateo County been doing in order to address this urgent need for more housing for farm workers?
There was a robust response, I would say, from local officials. The County Board of Supervisors voted unanimously to spend $1 million to cover a year's worth of rent for all of the displaced mushroom farm workers. That runs out this month, but the city of Half Moon Bay is stepping up, and they've also gotten commitments from a handful of community foundations, and together they've cobbled together another $1 million to cover year two of rent in temporary housing for the displaced farm workers. And they're hoping that that's going to carry them through until permanent housing is completed.
Right. Let's talk about that permanent housing, because of course these rooms that these folks are in have got to be a temporary situation. Folks like Vicente want to be with their families. What have these more permanent solutions looked like so far?
Well, Half Moon Bay officials are really excited and proud, I would say, when I went down there, that they're going to be breaking ground next month on a project with 47 new homes that are geared specifically for low-income farm workers and with priority to the 19 families that were displaced from the mushroom farms, including Vicente and his family. And this Stone Pine Cove is right on the edge of town. It's just a 5 or 10 minute walk into downtown. And the land was donated by the city. And they have pulled together the $16 million budget they need, including money from the federal government, from the state government, from the county, and from some foundation money.
Coming up, we take you to the site of a new housing project for farm workers. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Sasha Coca, host of the California Report magazine. Every week, we bring you stories about what connects us in the giant, diverse Golden State. Because what happens in California changes the world.
I love this place. We were once seen as, like, the place to be, California. The land of milk and honey. That's where you go to Sunshine State. But we just have challenges right now.
KQED's California Report magazine. New episodes drop every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Rund Abdelfattah from Throughline. If you're listening to this podcast, you know that KQED produces exceptional storytelling that keeps you informed, inspired, and entertained. Their podcasts cover issues from your neighborhood to the entire country and everything in between. Support this work today.
You can help us continue to bring quality podcasts to your ears. Just head to donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.
I know you actually went there and met Half Moon Bay Mayor Joaquin Jimenez. Tell me a little bit about him and where you went.
I met Mayor Jimenez at the city council meeting, actually, where affordable housing was a topic. It's a big priority for the mayor, who grew up in a farm worker family himself, and he knows about crowded housing.
I think we can walk. I can show her where the some of them are, you know, like Zabala House, where that would we.
So he walked me across town over to the site. There's a little creek running past it. Ironically, the California Terra Garden Mushroom Farm, one of the farms where the shooting took place, is just across a creek from this site, which is 4 or 5 acres here. They're purchasing manufactured homes that will be built in a factory and brought here on trucks.
The fastest way to provide housing right now is to use, you know, the module homes, the prefabricated homes.
They'll be little houses. They're going to be, you know, sort of what we used to call mobile homes, but they're not on wheels. You know, they're permanent homes, but they're built in a factory, not built at the construction site. So they're going to be, I think, 2 and 3 bedroom houses that are meant for families. And the city will put in the water lines and sewer lines, electrical lines, and I guess, you know, foundations. And the mayor and his housing director were showing me there's going to be a wildlife buffer along the creek, trails planned, and a playground.
So, you know, so that's one of the things that we want to do. Thinking about developing sites where our community can walk everywhere, do shopping, go to the clinic, go to school.
You stand on the side.
And the city also got emergency building permits approved. And so this is a project that is going to move a lot more quickly than other things that they have in the pipeline. They expect that the doors could open in less than a year, like early 2025. They're hoping that farm workers can move in.
Wow, that's pretty fast, it sounds like. And I mean, I have to imagine one project won't be enough to fill the needs that you laid out earlier. Are there longer term projects in the works?
Absolutely, yeah. The city is also donating land for an apartment building right in Half Moon Bay. That will be, they predict, a plan of 40 units geared towards older farm workers. There's funding streams that will be for folks who are, I think, like 50 plus. These were probably more smaller apartments, studios, 1 and 2 bedrooms. But this could take a good 4 years or maybe even more to get to completion.
And I know that even beyond housing, there are efforts to help farm workers build wealth, and I know you spoke with Mayor Jimenez about this.
You said building wealth, and it really is about building stability and a kind of a basis for upward mobility.
Farm workers are going to get to own their module home.
So one piece of that is that some of the homes at this new development in Half Moon Bay called Stone Pine Cove, some of these houses will be available for home ownership, for farm workers to purchase with very affordable mortgages over 20 years or so.
I think that would have been one of the my parents, you know, dreams, you know, to be able to own.
And Mayor Jimenez himself, with farm worker parents, they all immigrated from Mexico, and he and his siblings were able to get education and to build a future for themselves and their children. And he is very committed to making a path for other people, other farm worker families to do that.
And my father, you know, who's a very proud person, he talks about it. He's been asked questions throughout the years, you know, by friends or the families, how come he never invested, you know, in a house? And he said, at that time, it was difficult.
How is it possible that they're making these homes affordable to buy for farm workers, considering San Mateo County is so expensive, as you mentioned earlier?
Well, I mean, I think it comes down to public investment, public subsidy, and I think there's a recognition that on the open market, you know, housing is just totally out of reach for somebody who earns a farm worker wage, and especially in a place like San Mateo, and that the government is leaning into that and stepping up. And there is actually a state grant program, the Joe Serna Farm Worker Housing Grant Program, that is really geared towards making rental housing and home ownership affordable for farm workers. So, you know, there is state money going into this, and there's federal money, and there's local money and private philanthropy from foundations.
Coming back to Vicente Taiki, the farm worker who is still living in a guest house, separated from his family, how does he feel about everything that's happening? Is he excited?
Yeah, I think it feels more like not like a bird in the hand, but still more like a bird in the bush for him. I think he has this hope and this yearning and desire, and he's heard that the county, the city are working on building some permanent housing for farm workers and that he might be eligible for that.
Entonces, eso es lo que nosotros queremos, que hagan casas. Ahí sí que necesitamos casas justas, como dicen, ¿verdad? Para estar bien con nuestra familia, ¿no?
But there's been so much insecurity and so much disruption and upheaval in his life over the last, you know, year and a half that he'll sort of believe it when he sees it. He is, you know, just really hoping to have a place that he and his wife and his son can call home, and that it can be a safe home and a permanent place that can feel stable and where his child can grow up.
Eso es lo que queremos.
Y la estabilidad.
La estabilidad y que nuestros niños pues tengan un digamos, tal vez un parquecito para que ellos se distraigan.
Feeling safe and secure and in, you know, decent living conditions. And he said, you know, we don't need a fancy house. We don't need a casa de lujo, a luxurious home. We just need the basics, just a simple, humble home. And one thing I would love, he said, is a playground, a park where my little boy could play.
¿Qué mejor que uno tenga su casita propia?
Well, Taiki, thank you so much as always.
It's my pleasure, Erica.
That was Taiki Hendricks, Senior Immigration Editor for KQED. This 26-minute conversation with Taiki was cut down and edited by Senior Editor Alan Montesilio. Maria Esquinca is our producer. She scored this episode and added all the tape. Music courtesy of the Audio Network and Audio Socket. The rest of our podcast team here at KQED includes Jen Chien, our director of podcasts, Katie Springer, our podcast operations manager, Cesar Saldana, our podcast engagement producer, Maha Sanad, our podcast engagement intern, and Ellie Prickett Morgan, our production intern. The Bay is a production of listener-supported KQED in San Francisco. You can be part of the engine that runs shows like The Bay by becoming a KQED member. Just go to kqed.org/donate. I'm Erica Cruz Guevara. Thanks so much for listening. Peace.
Hey there, this is Brittany Luce from NPR's It's Been a Minute. KQED's podcasts like The Bay, Bay Curious, Mind Shift, Right Nowish, and more all tell the stories of the Bay and beyond with reliable, human-centered journalism. They aim to inspire, make you think, entertain, and expand your understanding of the place you call home. Here's how you can support podcasting at KQED.
Showing your support is easy, and you can join Brittany in supporting KQED Podcast too at donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.